America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till three, Danny and Dusty on the fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till three,
an Odyssey station.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Thursday afternoon. Thank you for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. We have a take quake in the world of the National Football League.
Woo, buddy.
It comes from a man who has been around for quite some time. And we all just went, oh, huh? What? Oh, this ain't it. Mel Kiper Jr., go eat some pumpkin pie.
Well, I grew up with the best of the National Football League, 60s, 70s, into the 80s. You're talking about deep shots, right? The go route, the nine route post. You're talking about Terry Bradshaw in a Super Bowl hitting John Stallworth. You see Leroy Irvin diving, right? Just off his fingertips. There's the receiver. They laid it out there, right? Hit the receiver in stride. 65-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful thing to watch. That's what I want to see brought back to the National Football League. Okay? Check down kings, bubble screen sensations, boring football. Game manager, I get it, but I want to see those deep shots. That's what the NFL was built on. I grew up with John Unitas, Fran Tarkington, Ken Stabler, Daryl LaMonica.
Yeah.
You
know,
you talk about quarterbacks, Joe Namath. It was just right. Brett Favre when he was doing what he did. Burt Jones with the Baltimore Colts. You think about those quarterbacks who would throw the ball down the field. I'd say what Bradshaw did was Stallworth and Swan, Roger Staubach. That's what I want to see brought back. Say, well, you can't do that, right? Well, you got a 5-yard rule with the cornerbacks, right? The Mel Blount rule, right? Now with the push thing with Hurts, you got to be a yard back now. So don't tell me you can't have those safeties closer to the line of scrimmage than they are. I was at games where I'm thinking, hey, too high? They're out in outer space. Two, I couldn't even find us. They're playing with nine guys, right? Where are the other two? Oh, the other two, they're so daggone far back, and even though they're part of damn play. I'm telling you, we got to change this thing, and we got to have, hey, you can warn them. Enough for, hey, come on. Hey, guys, you got to get up a little bit, right? You're too far back. Warn those safeties. But you got to figure out, competition committee, somebody, Dano, somebody's got to figure out what that depth is, but it's too far back right now. The NFL is being ruined by these too high safeties.
So, real quick, those eras of throwing the deep ball.
Yeah.
Cover two was there then, too.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, Tony Dungy made a great point on this because somebody gave Tony Dungy a ton of credit, like, the Tampa 2, look at it. And he goes, I stole that from our playbook when I was a Pittsburgh Steeler. Yeah. Like, in the 70s, yeah. Like, we were running this.
Yeah, we were dropping linebacker. And the difference is the Tampa too, is you drop the mic deeper. It's not mind blowing stuff here, and that somehow, you know, it's because of the proliferation of coverages is dictated, and the rules have dictated changes in the NFL.
Well, not
safeties.
He almost contradicts himself there towards the end, where he says, "I can't even see him on the film. What are they doing? They're so far out of the play." Well, so then what's the problem?
Yeah,
then how are they negatively
throw it underneath
things?
And get the big plays?
And here is where Mel Kiper Jr. completely misses the mark on all of this. Is that we are seeing teams run the ball so much more volume-wise and effectively because, yeah, safeties are playing deeper. They are capping defense or offenses and sitting, saying, we'll rally to everything underneath. Just we can handle that. We'll tackle in space. One of the reasons why the passing game isn't as explosive even on the underneath stuff, though, is because linebackers in the NFL have gotten smaller. They've gotten smaller, they've gotten faster, mm-hmm. they've gotten more bendy, and they are able to cover in space because all of those teams that he was talking about, all of those quarterbacks that were throwing deep against two high safeties and two cover two looks or quarters coverage, they were playing against linebackers who couldn't move, were wearing massive pads, and were matched up with a receiver one-on-one.
You're talking about like getting 285-pound Ray Lewis.
Fred Warner can move 53 and a third. He is a sideline-to-sideline middle linebacker mm-hmm. in the NFL. Outside linebackers and edge rushers also, edge rushers have gotten so much better.
Yeah.
Like Reggie White, he would translate to any era of football. But you know what? There are about four edge rushers on each team that would have been all pro in the 80s and 70s mm-hmm. because these guys are 6'5", 285 pounds, and run a 4.6 40 and get off the line, pin their ears back, and they're not responsible for the run game. Yep. They're responsible for making the quarterback uncomfortable. That also leads to you don't take as many deep shots. When you do, you're thrown to a spot, not the wide open receiver, not Lynn Swan running bare naked down the numbers. You're throwing to a spot, not a player now, because the pressure is way more intense. It comes relentlessly because guys are cycling in and out of rotations. The game is completely different, and that's why teams are running the ball more. They are running the ball more because it's what the defense is giving them. Are you lighting up scoreboards? No. The over-unders are showing that across the NFL. I mean, you mentioned how crazy it was.
35.5
is an over-under in an NFL game in the year of our Lord, 2024.
That's wild. If I told you that 5 years ago, you would be like, okay, it better be the two worst teams in the NFL that are like going to combine for two total wins.
And right now what we are seeing is head coaches, offensive coordinators, they don't care. They care about winning. They don't care about your fantasy numbers. They don't care about taking deep shots. Is that more exciting? Is it more fan-friendly? Absolutely it is. But the pendulum in football always swings back and forth. All they used to do is exclusively run the ball. And then
remember it was normal for a running back to get 30 carries a game?
And then you had Notre Dame rolled out, and they were like, you know what we're going to do? Newt Rockne said, let's throw the ball. And then you had guys like Norm Van Brocklin going to the NFL and whip the ball all over the field in the 50s. And then the pendulum swung back. You started running the football again, and you went back between the tackles. Then you had the West Coast offense came into the NFL, and that wasn't a bunch of deep shots. That was, we're going to take what the defense gives us, because team defenses were taking away the box so much. They were crowding the box and saying, we dare you to run the football. So the West Coast offense was an extension of a run game with a short passing game that could pick you apart based on your coverage. Then we saw defenses adjust to that. You started taking more deep shots downfield. Now defenses have adjusted and they said, all right, we aren't going to allow the deep shot anymore. We're not going to have, you know, the funny numbers in multiple 5,000 yard passers. What we are going to do is we're going to keep everybody in front and we're going to try to make your life a living hell. That is exactly how football has operated for decades.
Well, it's not even just football. It's all of sports. Yep. And that's what kind of torques me off about Mel Kiper and this take and takes of this ilk is that the whole point of sport is to try to adapt to what your opponent is giving you and letting you have. And it was like one of the things where, like in baseball, banning the shift and whatnot. It's like, you know what? You don't want the outfield to shift like that. Learn to hit the other damn way. to hit the ball to the opposite field.
I think what we're looking at with baseball, too, I mean, Shohei Ohtani is on the cusp of 50-50 season. He's at 48 home runs, 49 stolen bases.
And it was a minor change to a bag.
By this...
Well, and so what's next? Well, is Major League Baseball going to ban a player who can pitch and hit?
Well, it wasn't just the bag getting bigger. It was analytics shifted so far in the direction of doubles or home runs that there became more value in a stolen base. The value became higher of when you get a guy on base and you have a guy with plus speed to swipe that bag. The base being larger, the fact that you're limiting attempts on pickoff moves, yeah, that helped. That sure as heck helped a lot. But the reason why they made that move is because they want guys hitting for average again. You were out yesterday when we talked about this, but one of those graphics popped up of players who hit over 300. And back in 1980, there were 26 teams in baseball, and 24 of the teams had at least one player hitting over 300 in 1980. There were 43 players in Major League Baseball that hit over 300 in 1980. We have a week left in the regular season. There's only 8 guys in Major League Baseball hitting over 300.
And they're not exactly like flying over the 300.
No, it's because you're going for doubles and dingers at the plate, and pitching has gotten so damn good, and they throw so many arms at you over the course of the game.
And
it's gotten
you've
that
got
much
some
harder.
Arms that hit 105.
Well, guess what baseball is going to start doing now? You're going to start hitting for average again. Because it's becoming more value. The numbers are saying it's becoming more valuable. If we can steal bases and we can get guys on base, then we can have our doubles in homer hitters. And there's going to be more of them.
And all of a sudden, you start seeing lineups again that start looking a lot like the 1998 Cleveland Indians.
But it is.
And it's going to be because the teams learn to adapt to the style of play and what things are changing, not because of a stupid rule change.
It's what the game is giving you now. And boy. Mel Kiper, he's whiffed on a couple of
The Vancouver Ford text line. Might be some truth to this because the texter brings up that, remember, Kiper was the biggest proponent of Bryce Young. Did you see what he said about Bryce Young being sat down and blamed it wholly basically on the Panthers organization and said Bryce wasn't to blame at all?
Well,
we did have that yesterday.
We played that audio yesterday. Yeah. And he did mention the limitations that Bryce Young has physically, but he was a big Bryce Young guy.
Yeah.
Big dime Bryce Young guy. But we talked about how two things can be true. Bryce Young has his physical limitations and the Panthers let him down.
Yeah.
They didn't just let him down. They screwed him up.
Well, I saw LeBron James tweeted out in support of Bryce Young when he got benched that nothing that happened. It was your fault basically.
Yeah.
You keep your head up, young king. And I'm just like,
well,
what the hell are we doing here?
We played Baker Mayfield's audio and I loved what Baker Mayfield said about it, because Baker just said he's got everything is in front of him still.
Sure, yeah, no,
because he went through everything in Carolina, and Baker, I'm finding so much more respect for Baker Mayfield as time goes on. He has grown up over the years. He's come a long way from outrunning, trying to outrun an overweight police officer in Arkansas. Grabbing his junk against Kansas and planting the flag at Ohio State and the Cheesecake Factory parking lot. He's grown up a ton. He's grown up a ton. That's a long list.
I mean, it is.
And he got dragged for all
those
things.
There's plenty of things you can, he has plenty of time.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from the National Football League. That's a bad one. That's a bad take, Mel Kiper Jr. Teams will figure it out.
Atrocity.
He's definitely shaking his fist at the sky.
Yeah, he is.
It's like, come on, dude.
It's like me with cargo pants.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing
right
now.
Slick the hair back and let's chill.
That's right. All right, Oregon State. They got a big one this weekend.
Oh.
A Big Ten team Coming into Reese's Stadium for a second straight week, Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Beavs get back at it this week. They got Purdue coming to town Saturday at the Reser Stadium. Back-to-back weeks, a Big Ten team coming into Reser. And I know it was sour taste in Oregon State's mouth after the way that Oregon game went, especially the avalanche that came in the second half. But good news on the injury front for the Beavs heading into this week. Both Darius Clemens at wide receiver and Van Wells, your center, going to be back in the lineup for Oregon State when Purdue comes calling. Beavs 4.5-point favorites against the Boilermakers. That's a tasty little line for Oregon State being 4.5-point favorites over a Big Ten team that just got their absolute teeth jaws broken against Notre Dame. That game was 66-7. And I mean, you want to talk about a team that looked atrocious. Purdue looked disjointed at every
What's insane,
turn.
Too, is that Purdue came into that game feeling like the spread. I think it was like a nine. I think it was a single-digit spread. And they even felt like even that might be like, we're going to spring the upset and show the world. Yeah. Like, that was what was kind of going on around Purdue going into that game. And they got absolutely stuffed in a mud hole.
Yeah, they got caught they caught Notre Dame at the wrong time. Very similar to Oregon State catching Oregon after those lackluster performances and the offensive line taking so much heat. And you have a team, Notre Dame just said, we just lost to Northern Illinois. We overlooked an opponent. We are not going to be overlooking anybody this week. And they just dragged them up and down the field for 60 minutes. It was a clinic that was put on. But for Oregon State, a win this weekend. Think about how the schedule lines up for Oregon State, right? Right now, they're sitting at 2-1. I think beginning of the year, anybody who looked at Oregon State's schedule, you'd be happy with a 2-1 start, right? If they start the season 3-1 with Colorado State, which just got, I mean, the score was not as close as that game was against Colorado even. Mm-hmm. Colorado took care of, I mean, they was 21-3, mm-hmm. and they controlled them. We know Colorado's faults, and we know Colorado's flaws. You get Colorado State after this. You get a struggling Nevada team after that. If Oregon State can start 3-1, are we looking at, you know, the confidence? What's the confidence meter on a 5-1 start out the gate before you have what will be your second toughest test of the season. UNLV is good, but the Beavs get UNLV at home. They have a bye week after this week, and then you have Colorado State at Nevada, and then UNLV. You're looking at, like, I know that a 49-14 loss and the way that all went down, that's discouraging, but Beavs are still in a really good place right
now. They can set themselves up for a nice push, but those final three games, that's a hellacious kind of, like, podge of games. Air Force, yep. Washington State, Boise State.
Yep.
Three very, very, very different teams. And say what you want about playing an academy. You don't want to play an academy at the end of the year.
Well, this schedule gets exponentially tougher after the next, you know, three games.
And it turns out Cal's actually not terrible.
Cal's got teeth, man. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at a Cal team that at right now they're 3-0. And they're feeling pretty damn good about where they are.
Second best team in the ACC.
Heck yeah, brother.
I mean,
they went and beat Auburn.
I'm dead serious. I think they might be the second best team in the ACC.
UNLV, Cal, Air Force, Washington State, Boise State. Those are five really tough games.
A tough schedule for when you're talking about like a non-con schedule, like that's about as tough as it gets.
Cal going to go into Tallahassee and win?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yes. Yeah.
I love it.
I think
legitimately, like, and if they do, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with, like, if you want to say Clemson's the second best team in that conference, fine, but I think Cal might be.
Which, if you said that before the start of the season, people would be like, what are you smoking and where can I get it?
No, there's plenty of time to cool off on Cal. Yeah. Guys, let's not get over our skis here.
What I'm just saying. That's more about that conference.
I'm so out on it.
Even still, just three games through the season, if you would have said that beforehand, people would be like, whoa.
You guys know the line on that Cal-Florida State game?
I think I just saw it 2.5.
Florida State or Cal? Cal?
No, Florida State. -2.5 at home.
So they're saying that Cal's favorite.
But yeah, you get three at home.
Yeah, neutral site. Wow.
Yep.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow. Okay.
And I think the most incredible part about Cal and what they're doing so far is that it has not been on the shoulders of Jade Knott.
Mm.
They Javian Thomas, he's been their workhorse back. I mean, Jade Knott has only had 24 carries, been dinged up, but it's been Javion Thomas and Kadarius Callaway who have shouldered the load for them offensively, and they're still 3-0. And look, Fernando Mendoza, who stepped in last year,
who's a fun little gamer.
He's a fun quarterback to watch. He's been efficient. He's been pushing the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you're sitting there and you're going, all right, way to go, Cal. All right.
And then, of course, you had Wilcox had to get on the sideline and tell his fans to stop. What were they throwing on the field that got him a penalty?
Some kind of card.
Yeah. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he had to grab the ref's mic and go, hey, you've cost us 2 15-yard penalties.
Yeah.
Stop throwing the cards in the field. Yeah,
knock it off.
I like that.
It was funny because he literally had to take like the lapel mic off the ref and talk into it. So the ref was kind of like leaning in.
That was against San Diego State?
Yeah. 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 I'll see if I can find the audio. It was pretty good. Yeah. It's like, come on, man.
College kids. I've been to
you seen the Cal Woke Mob Twitter?
No. No, their Twitter. Yes, I have.
Oh God,
their
it's been
Twitter
so good.
Game has stepped up.
It's been
like
so good.
They're feeling themselves after a little 3-0 start.
They're leaning into the memes, and it's fun.
Well, they have that defensive lineman, the transfer from Notre Dame, too, who's been playing really stinking well. And he's a plug in the middle. He's like, I think he's like, what, 6'1", 330 or something like that. He's just an absolute plug. What's his name? It's a Polynesian name, and I'm going to screw it up.
Oh, Aiden?
Aiden Kiania.
Kianaina.
Sure. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. He's been everywhere,
yeah,
man.
He's listed as 6'3", 320.
Oh. Look at that.
That's a big old boy. I mean, that's not who's the kid for Florida who's 460? Where's 21?
See, we need to. There's some guys we just be like, you need to come home, man. You need to. That needs to be a 71, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you, 91, 20, if you're a defense lineman, 91, well, I'll put you in a 91.
Seeing 21 and look like it's stretched out over a balloon,
yeah.
It looks, and he is, I think he's like 6'7", too, because he is huge.
Well, in order to be that heavy, yeah, I would imagine you're very, 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 very tall as well. But a plucky little cow coming out of the gate.
Desmond Watson, that's his name.
Desmond.
He is listed as 6'5", 450.
Mm-mm.
But he's bigger than 450 now, even because they were talking about him in the Miami Florida game. They were talking about him coming into it, and he walked by, like, they had the camera, the live camera, and he walked by that monster defensive end they brought over from, was it Ole Miss, one of the big transfer ends, who was like 6'5", like 290, and he looked like a child next to him, and it was like, nah, dog, no, that's. That's not okay.
When you stand next to, like, Lichtenhan from Oregon State, or, like, even Jordan Birch from Oregon, where you just sit there and you just look up at these monsters and you go, I don't know if we're from the same planet.
No.
Like, I don't think...
And it's different than the NBA because of the weight.
Yeah, the frame that they hold. Like, in the NBA, they want to be a little bit more lean. Like, mm-hmm. Yao Ming was just an absolute monster of a human being. But in the NBA, you're like, oh, okay, you're just, like, tall and more slender. And then you get close to him, though, and you're like, you're jacked.
Like you go, like the Myers and Nurks of the world. Like, you think they're, like, oh, yeah, they're big. But then you see them up close, and you go, oh.
But football players are so different because a lot of the guys, like Ashton Gentry, right? When I stood next to Ashton Gentry, I was like, dude, you're not 5'9 in cleats and a helmet right now. Like, there's no way you're 5'9.
But he still had 215 pounds packed on a 5'7" frame.
Yeah. And I'm like, I do believe that you are about 210 pounds, but there's no way. And so they seem smaller, but then you see the lineman, you're like, good God, how are you the same species as me?
No.
I don't believe it. I don't. Some of them you just go, nope. Don't know what planet you're from. Not this one.
Want to go full derail for like 30 seconds?
Sure. Doubt it will last that long.
I was just talking to somebody and size and weight came up. Denny Avdia is listed like across the board at like 210.
Mm-hmm.
He's 240.
Oh. All right, big dude.
Like, apparently they're looking at updating some of those across the board for some of the Blazers players.
Actually, but, put them on a scale?
Yeah, but Danny's like, yeah, I'm sick and tired of being listed at 210. And after running into him in Vegas, yeah, that kid is thick. He is a big dude. I just thought it was interesting. It was like so much of what the Blazers were over the years being smaller. They are so big now. I do my yearly tabulation kind of like of who the biggest teams in the league are. I'm almost done with it. And right now, the Blazers are the biggest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Which is such a huge departure from what they were 4 years ago.
Big in stature, short on wins.
There you go. Hey-oh. Wow, that's the slogan for the year.
Yeah. I think we just nailed it.
I'm sure they would love that.
Big where it counts.
Sell some season tickets on that one.
By the way, we're gonna jack your prices up next season, too.
Hey, speaking of jacked up prices, that's exactly where we're going to go for today's Worst Day on the Web. What would you do if you found out you were paying for your neighbor's electricity for over 15 years? Oh, but here's the big kahuna with Sports and Update.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's time for today's Worst Day on the Web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Man, that sucks!
You ever looked at your electrical bill and been like, damn, that seems high.
Yep.
Kids leave it on the bleeping TV. Turns out, it's not really a big deal. Sidebar, when I went and bought my TV, they had those required energy saver stickers, like what TVs costs.
Mm-hmm.
There was like three TVs in a row that I was looking at. They're all 65 inches, and they're all the same brand. Like, they were, two of the three were relatively about the same as everything else that was up there on the wall. The other one was like four times the amount it would cost a year to power.
Really?
I was like, the hell, they running a Death Star off this thing? It was like, all of them were like around $80. The other one was like $400.
Weird.
I was like, what the hell is going on? And the price difference.
Don't leave that one on.
Yeah, and then the price difference between the two was like not what you would expect. I think it was like $600 to $800, something like that. It wasn't anything crazy, but the price difference to run it was drastic. I don't know. Again, sidebar, it was just something that stood out. I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Squirrel.
Yes, which kind of fits, not kind of, it fits exactly alongside a California man, of course it's California, they'll never get this right, found out that he has been inadvertently paying his neighbor's electrical bill for the last 15 years.
How do you do that? How does that happen? Because it's simple if you're paying two electrical bills. Like, I get it if you sit there and you're like, gosh, this seems kind of high this month.
So this is a guy who's
doubling it up.
Well, this is a guy who's like, he's actively, he's like, man, this doesn't make any sense. He's been actively like trying to like cut down, like forcibly turning off everything. Like, and there's been like, it'll go up, which in California, if you don't know, those summertime rates are nuts. It gets real expensive. But when it first happened, he called and reported, and after a while, he was like, this doesn't make any sense. PGE sent somebody out there, and they found that his unit, number 90, was not linked to his bill, but yet unit 91 was and had been since 2006.
Okay, but this still doesn't compute as to why did it take him so long to get PGE to come out?
I don't know. Maybe he just
the
thought
electric company.
I mean, maybe
out.
He just thought his electrical bill was going
to
be that high. Like, I mean, you know, electrical bills in California, they're like the worst in the country.
Yeah, but like obviously, this guy was going through it for 15 years. Like, you'd think he'd be like, "Hey, can you guys come out and check on this for us?" Because we do that. Like, if your water bill's excessively high, we're like, there's
spike.
No way.
Yeah.
And so you have, you know, the water company come out, check it, because you want to make sure you don't have a leak somewhere. Mm-hmm. If it was excessively large, I'd be like, okay, can you guys send somebody out to check our meter then, to just to make sure?
Yeah. I remember we had the one in Portland where they found that it wasn't an actual leak. I mean, it was like $1 million they were trying to get out of them. And it's like, no, you owe this. You have a leak. You need to, and it turned out it was just like the meter was jacked up.
Yeah,
like,
the meter was broken.
Yeah, it's like,
right?
No, I didn't actually use all that water, dummy.
I don't know. About a decade and a half ago, I would have called the electric company and been like, can you come and check this out?
Is
for
this
me?
Like the most passive aggressive? Yeah, I need you out here 15 years ago.
Yeah, right? Like, what are we doing? So now, what was his neighbor thinking this entire time? Like, electricity's free? No wonder the electric bill was going up and he's turning
everything
off.
Or he's getting this guy's bill and it's wildly cheap because he's not using electricity at all. He's like, man, I can just jack this thing up. Guy, babe, run everything. We're good.
Exactly. I mean, that's probably what he was doing. Like, and the more power I use, the more it goes down. This is brilliant.
I mean, do they refund it?
No, the electric company probably doesn't. Because there is, I mean, I'm sure that they're saying there's culpability in you understanding which meter, but seems like this is an error on the electric company, but also...
They're probably just going, sorry, you're a dumbass.
Do you have to go back at your neighbor then and say, hey, little something for the effort here?
I think it falls on PGE.
Yeah, I would go. I'd go to the electric company and
be
like, "You guys are
no,
the ones
you guys are the one
who
hooked this up. So you guys screwed up the meter. I didn't change the meter."
Mm-hmm. And as long as he could prove, like, I don't know where his it was. So was he paying double, or was he just paying?
It's unclear if it's double or
unit.
If it's somebody else's unit. But the funny thing is, they got it resolved, and yet he's gonna have to pay for the other unit one more time because it has to wait until the end of the pay cycle to be adjusted.
No way.
I am not even remotely. It says, for now, however, Wilson is still paying his neighbor's bill as PGE said it can only be changed in the next
billing
cycle.
You can't do
it.
No.
Like, bro, that is the most.
You can't do that.
Like, do you slap the guy that comes up? Do you make? He says, oh, you got to pay. Next cycle will get you squared away.
What?
They just like, triple stamp a double tamp.
You literally just slap him and go, no.
Okay.
No, you don't. You get this fixed now.
That right there, if you take this to a jury, I am 100% going.
You're walking away with the winnings.
No, I'm going with the plaintiff here. Yeah. I'm going with Mr.
Wilson.
Snarfle, Wilson, Mr. Wilson here. And I'm siding with him. 100%, because all this tells me is that PG does not care one bit about their customers or what they're doing. You can fix this before the next cycle. It's not rocket science here. This guy should not be paying for his neighbor's electricity because you guys screwed up and are sending him the wrong bill. No.
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. They... I would go 100%. And his lawyer is probably licking his chops at the 100%. Fact that that was the response from the electric company. Was, after this month, no counties. No, I'm not playing that. I'm not paying for somebody else's electricity because you guys screwed up.
It's
no way.
Just truly fantastic stuff.
Golly.
That just sounds exactly like you expect it to sound from a corporate overlord monopoly, like power. It's like dealing with waste management. It's the same thing. They take their pictures that they take of the trash can, of your trash can lid up 3 inches.
Yeah.
But when they miss a week because of weather, it's like, oh, you know, you still owe for that, though.
Yeah.
Not that I'm petty about that at all. Not that that bothers me at all.
We've been through it with them. I'm glad I don't deal with waste management anymore.
Are you guys in a different zone?
Mm-hmm.
Lucky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the border like right in the middle of our street.
Ooh, really?
We're about 6 houses away. We're waste management, and about 6 houses away is Garbarino.
Yeah, I'm Garbarino. Garbarino for life. They've been great.
That sounds like a made-up name.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Garbarino.
No, you need to forget about it right now. But... we've had no issues with them. They've been fantastic. They've been great to work with. But that's what Rust is talking about right there. That's also the problem, though, is because if you don't go with the one garbage service in your neighborhood, then you're like SOL.
Yeah.
How does that work? Like, why are we going? We have zero competition there. They can charge whatever they want. They can have if your lid is askew just a little bit and just be like, yeah,
open
the hell
by
with
an
you.
Inch. Yes, and they call it an incident.
Yeah, yeah.
And they charge you extra.
That's the worst. Yeah.
But you know what? We got them because right after we moved into our house for probably, good Lord, it was probably 3 or 4 years. The garbage can was still there, so we would just go put our trash out every week. They never billed us for 3 or 4 years.
We got an internet change in the neighborhood too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Did you get the one? Did you get the one?
Yeah. I think we're making the big change. It's gonna be different. We're gonna have a lot of big learning curve, but I think we're in.
It works well. I'm telling you, if you're going with the one we talked about.
Yep, we'll see.
It's quite blissful. Oh, I do enjoy it. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. All right, so there you go. There's your stupid corporate overlord monopoly of the day getting it wrong.
Dang. I had a college girlfriend that lived in the same apartment for 2 years who didn't know until 6 months left on her lease that her apartment was on the same meter as the rental office. She only found out about the shared box when they plugged in a heater that was too big and it popped her fuse. She ended up getting the last 6 months of her rent for free. Dang.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, at least they did something for her.
Yeah, so they didn't get sued.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well.
It probably still wasn't exactly commensurate with what it actually cost her.
Speaking of things that aren't commensurate with cost, how about paying for a baseball team and finding new ways to lose? Hmm? Get to that more coming from Dan and Dusty, the fan. Forget blowing a 24-game lead. Blowing any kind of game.
It was only a 10-game lead in 24 games.
It's a 10-game lead in 24 games. My bad.
That would be even worse.
A 10-game
lead. We don't need to pile on
It was the fastest a 10-game lead had ever been blown, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we don't need to pile on the Mariners. Their fans are good enough at
yes.
that.
Yes. They managed to do something last night, as you heard there on the audio. The Mariners are now, according to OptiStats, the only baseball team in the last 50 years to have the tying run on third. Okay? Tying run on third. Nobody out in the ninth.
Or later.
Because
this is the 10th.
Yes, to lose the game in the space of two batters without putting the ball in play and or without trying to steal.
That's just a cruel stat to make public to the world. Like, Mariners fans didn't need to see that. They didn't need that last night. Because that may be one of the most bizarre turn of events and most on brand for the Mariners moves of all time. Like, in the 10th inning, you're down 2-1. You start Julio on second because extra innings rules. All right? You get a single, moves him over to third. You got runners on the corner. And you have a strikeout by Randy Arozarena. And he throws the bat down the line. Let's go of the bat. It goes over the head of Julio, and he has to duck. Like, his quotes after the game were like, he's like, I was just worried I was going to get hit. All I saw was the bat flying at my face. So I had to duck out of the way of it. It goes over third base, And as Julio's just trying to get his thoughts together, he's like, I was just still shocked at what had happened in front of me. All of a sudden, the catcher, heads up move by Yankees catcher, whips it down to Jazz Chisholm at third, tags Julio out. That's a strikeout, throw him out, double play.
And without Julio, a ball going into play.
Yeah. Julio said he heard Manny Acta just yell, get back to third, get back to third. And he was like, I'm still trying to catch my breath after ducking out of the way.
Going full matrix mode, yeah.
Like, goodness gracious. And then the very next batter, strikeout, game over, you lose 2-1 in 10 innings. The Yankees not only clinch a spot in the playoffs, but that was a game where the Mariners had the opportunity to make up ground in the wild card. Houston lost in the AL West, so they could have made up a game there. Minnesota lost, who they're trying to chase in the wild card. And so if you were going to make up ground, you got a runner on third with no outs. And you're thinking, we can tie this game up and give ourselves a chance to win the game. And two batters later, done. Done.
Inventing ways to lose.
What? Literally inventing it. Like, it's never happened before. It's crazy. I thought for sure that if it, when a bat leaves a player's hand like
kind
that.
Kind of a dead ball.
Dead ball. And that's what Julio thought, too. He thought, like, well, when the bat comes flying down the third baseline, figured that ball was dead at that point. Wrong.
Turns out, nope.
Wrong. But I guess, like, if you're off the base.
Always the protect yourself. It's yeah. Like boxing rules.
Golly. Poor Mariners, man. But, I mean, poor Mariners.
Where are they at now in the wild card standings? Are they mathematically eliminated?
No,
yet?
No.
The Twins just got beat by the Guardians, so now the Tigers and Twins are tied for the last wild card spot, and the M's are 2.5 back.
We're not going to spend any time talking about it, but what the Tigers have done over the last month is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely insane. It is the anti-Mariners.
Uh-huh.
They're, what, 26 and 10? Over the last 36 games, something like that?
Well, you know who the Tigers manager is.
Hmm.
A.J. Hinch, former Astros manager.
Hmm.
Got fired. And he was the guy that
tried... For not running a tight ship?
Well, no, yeah. He became one of the fall guys, even though he tried to break the TV. Well, he did break the TV that they were using for the sign stealing when they were banging that trash can.
Or did he get fired for things that sounded like this?
No, and it wasn't
that wasn't him?
No.
No.
The buzzer isn't real. The trash can was.
Mm.
But A.J. Hinch is a damn good manager, and they've got young pitching talent.
Probably the best.
They're good, man.
Crazy enough, the best young pitcher in baseball, and is not named Paul Skeens.
No, yeah.
Dark school.
Yeah, he's been absolutely outstanding. But the Mariners can make up that ground. They're up 3-0. Nothing is safe. But they're up 3-0 over the Yankees right now as they head to the third inning. And the Astros have got one more with the Padres, too. So could see some that gap start to close. Astros finish their series with the Padres. They are playing the Angels today. That is a lot more tough.
It's tough.
That's a tough one.
It's kind of hard to get over.
Yeah. Angels are really bad.
Yeah.
They're worse.
We didn't talk about it. Maybe we'll find some time to talk about it. But did you see the Mike Trout is considering changing positions to prolong his career?
I mean, why not?
It's crazy that we've reached that point, though.
Yeah. Look, if the Mariners must win the next four games, including today against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You got three with the Texas Rangers, mm-hmm. who also not good at baseball right now. Then you go on the road to Houston with a three-game set. If you win the next four games, you are going to position yourself to make up ground.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're going to have to
control some destiny there.
Now, granted, you probably need to win out because think of that. If you're going to make up ground on the Astros, you've got to win the next seven, or you need to win the next four games.
Mm-hmm.
Then you need to win at least two of three. So you need to win six of the next seven games and then set yourselves up for the final series of the year against the A's, which I don't know if you've noticed, but the A's are not a great baseball team, but they play really good against good teams that have something to lose.
Weirdly enough, they find a way.
They are major league in this thing.
No, it was the Cardinals that knocked off the Orioles at home. But yeah, that A's team finds a weird way to win games they shouldn't.
Pesky.
Meh.
Pesky little.
In spite of their ownership.
A's team. Yeah.
It's Thursday. It's 2 o'clock, which means it's time for us to make our picks ahead for the NFL weekend coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.